Good evening, everybody. This is Tom Bigley, your co-host. Michael McClellan is seemingly having a little technical difficulty, so we're going to do the best we can here. We're coming to you live from San Jose. This is New Spirit Radio Show from Society Nova Spiritus. This week, we're going to be talking about Psychic Healing Part 2. We're going to be continuing on with where we left off. We'll also have a meditation afterwards. So I'm excited to get this started, get everybody energized, and I see there's already someone that's got a question here, and we will get to that in just a minute. A few things I wanted to share with people. Regarding chat, chat is free to sign up. It looks like you're signing up as a host, but that's the way the Blog Talk Radio works. You can get on that email address. You can send messages via email at newspirit@novus.org. We'll be looking for common questions as well as unique questions, and we'll bring those on the air to share as well. Call-ins, if you are going to call in and want to ask a question, please press 1. That lets us know that you have a question. If not, you know, feel free to listen in. If you change your mind and you do have a question, you'll have to hang up and dial the number again and press 1, and we'll know that you're, check that out. We'll be able to find out that you have a question you want to ask. So give me a moment here. We will get started with the first continuation. It was left off at Psychic Healing, our Part 3. And I will find out what we did with Michael. So anyway, enjoy. If you got questions, again, you can always chat or you can send an email, and we'll be glad to answer those as best we can. All right, here we go. We're going to continue on with psychic healing.
The mind is the most powerful tool we have available to us. And when we're hitting on all cylinders, we feel good. We have energy and we're healthy. Throw a wrench into our lives, however, and we very quickly break down. For example, we all know at least one person whom we've kindly called negative. These are the individuals who constantly complain about everything, claiming that nothing ever goes right in their lives. They hate their jobs, their relationships with a significant other, the place they live, and so on. Usually they are sick quite often, or are addicts. On the other hand, we also know people whom we deem positive. We love to be around these individuals. We feel energized by them. These men and women are rarely in poor health, and when they do come down with something, they get over it quickly. Now, what causes one type of person to be susceptible to illness over another? There can be numerous factors, but one of the biggest is that the subconscious and conscious minds are in harmony with each other in the positive person who rarely gets sick. But they're in disharmony in the negative person who seems to be constantly under the weather. The human body is a wonderful God-made machine with built-in mechanisms such as antibodies to fight the millions of germs we're exposed to daily. And usually does a fine job in making these bugs ineffective. When our defense mechanisms do fail, it tends to be because our conscious and subconscious minds aren't working together. It turns out that the subconscious mind knows much more than your conscious mind does. The subconscious mind is like a sponge that sops up everything you've ever encountered in life, as well as everything you've encountered before and after life. It's like a huge data bank that stores your entire existence. This includes all of the memories of this life that your conscious mind has forgotten, as well as all of the memories of your prior incarnations that your conscious mind has no awareness of at all. Since your subconscious mind has all this information and your conscious mind only has a limited perception that pertains to your life now, that's where potential problems lie. When conflict occurs, it's typically because your conscious mind is directing you since it thinks it knows what to do. while the subconscious mind actually does know, and they don't agree on the best course of action. As soon as such a disagreement occurs, you'll almost certainly get either a mental or physical reaction that manifests itself within you. A perfect example of this type of conflict comes from the workaholic. Such an individual's conscious mind says, in order to get ahead in this world, I must put in long, hard hours to get promotions and more money to buy things. He may have other influences underscoring this belief, such as a spouse who wants a nicer home, the need to keep up with a successful sibling or friend, or hard-driving parental figure. The point is that the person starts working more to accomplish the goals of making money, getting promoted and gaining accolades with titles and so forth. Instead of an average workday, he starts to put in 10, then 12, even 16 or more hours each day to accomplish what he feels he needs to do. The conscious mind of the workaholic drives him onward to greater glory and monetary stature in life. Meanwhile, his subconscious mind knows that hard work is fine if done in moderation. But if overdone, eventually his body will start to break down, or he'll neglect the important things in life, such as family and love. Knowing this, the subconscious mind tries to communicate with the conscious mind that this person should slow down and stop and smell the roses. The conscious mind laughs and says, "No way, I've got to reach my goal." The subconscious takes the rejection in stride and replies, "Okay, if you won't listen, then I'm going to lower the defense mechanisms of the body. I'll make you slow down by getting you sick." Think of such instances when you became ill. I'd venture a guess that more often than not, they occurred right after you were stressed out or more traumas happened in your life, such as losing a job or loved one, or going through a divorce. In either case, the subconscious and conscious portions of your mind were most likely in conflict with one another. To take this point even further, think of a time when you were madly in love or infatuated with someone. You couldn't sleep, your energy was boundless, you were happy to the point of being silly, and romantic songs or places set you soaring like an eagle in the sky. Your body took a beating, and your endurance was tested to its limits, but I'll bet you never got sick. This is because your conscious and subconscious minds were in harmony. You can redirect both of your minds to work together so that you don't have any more conflicts. There are several tools to help you do so, such as hypnosis, meditation, prayer, affirmations, and the like. Yet even if you use these tools, you must still learn to listen to your subconscious, and through dreams, energy, intuition, and feelings, this will help you avert any disagreements with the conscious mind. Hypnosis is a good technique to utilize for programming your mind. Hypnotic regression is particularly effective as a potent healing method. It's imperative that you also work on letting go of the past. I'd like to take a moment to explain what the term cell memory means, since I've been referring to it. Our bodies are made up of millions of cells, each of which has our genetic code, our DNA imprinted within it. Cells join together to create form and function, which means that it takes billions of them to make up an arm, a kidney, or any other part of the body. Every individual has a different genetic code, which makes everyone unique. While no one else has our specific genetic code, certain aspects of it will show up in our children. New and astounding research is being done every day to try to identify the genes that not only comprise our makeup, but also dictate our mental and physical health. For instance, people who are afflicted with certain diseases carry genes in a particular sequence that makes them presupposed to those ailments. There's optimism in the scientific community that genes can be arranged to treat disease or even prevent individuals from being susceptible to it all. Cell memory refers to the storage of everything we've been through. Throughout our entire existence, which is given to each cell by the subconscious mind. In other words, every cell in our body has retention of this life and every incarnation we've had since our creation. If a cell fails to operate correctly, then that creates a corresponding effect on the body or mind. It's natural for cells to age, die, or regenerate themselves. When they work like they're supposed to, we're in a very healthy state of being. It's when they don't operate properly that health issues arise, and it's precisely this issue that I'll be addressing, which is meant to help you live a full and healthy life.
Wow. That is a lot of information, and that's like key points and key tools that we use for helping healing, you know, not just the prayers and ceremony, you know, the prayers and church services and counseling, those are all good. The hypnosis, as well as dream analysis, which, matter of fact, that's my one of my enjoyments. I do dream analysis and help people with that, and I have a lot of fun with that one, as well as involved with hypnosis. And just to point out and plug our hypnosis training program, the Sylvie Brown Hypnosis Training Program has an intensive training session coming up in October. If you're able to come to the Bay Area or are in the Bay Area, it's the 13th or the 19th. We did mention that, I believe, last week when Teresa was on. But it's, again, the hypnosis is very powerful, as well as affirmations. In dream analysis, which, of course, I love to deal with. So let's see. We are going to move on here to the next. Do we have any chat questions at the moment? I'm calling over to our chat person here. Do we have any chat questions at the moment? Okay. We'll hear from the chat department, because I'm not, unfortunately, not reading chat at the moment, but the chat department tells me that people are asking about Chris. Unfortunately, he was unable to be on last week. He had some form of a schedule change, so, but keep tuned. You know, we will let people know when he's on again. And I see, oh, look, Michael's online again, so we're still working on getting Michael back on here as well. Let's see. So let's get started on the next section of it. We have Psychic Healing Part 4, and we're going to listen to what Sylvia's going to share with us.
Chapter 2, The Power of the Will and an Ounce of Prevention. One of the hardest things for some people is to be positive, both in their mental outlook and in life. Those who are positive in their thinking usually live longer and are healthier than those who aren't. They also tend to be more well-liked than negative individuals are. I'm more than 70 years of age, yet folks are constantly asking me how I keep up with my schedule. Every year I do dozens of readings, lectures, and interviews. I make countless appearances on television and radio shows. I'm the CEO of 3 organizations. I research and then write anywhere from 2 to 4 books. I run a household. I interact with friends and family members. And I spend so much time traveling that my frequent flyer miles are in the hundreds of thousands of miles on several carriers. During my first marriage, I held 2 jobs, raised 2 boys, cooked, took care of the house, and attended night school for my master's degree. I've always had the ability to do a prodigious amount of work, and thankfully God gave me a body that has held up fairly well, although lately I don't seem to be able to do as much as I did when I was younger. How do I do it, you ask? Well, I have an overpowering love for Mother and Father God and their creations, along with an unwavering drive to help as many folks as I can for them through my work. I do admit to a strong will, and many times it's been my savior, and it's always gotten me through to meet my obligations. The combinations of my wellness, strong will, and love for God keeps me going and allows me to do what I do. Your own will and positive outlook can accomplish wonders. If you have a terminal illness, for instance, they can help make you live longer than anyone's expectations and beat the death sentence. I've witnessed this type of miracle many times, and in most cases, it was because the individuals in question actually will themselves to live and conquer their illnesses or diseases. If people can utilize their wills to do that, imagine what you can do for your own health. I've always believed that the mind is the key to good health. If you're happy and enjoy life, then you're just going to be healthier than most people are. To stop the process of illness, you have to help your mind get past conflict and get focused again. Since the subconscious mind has all of your accumulated knowledge and the conscious mind only has a portion of that knowledge, you should try to address both of them, but place your emphasis on the subconscious. You actually communicate with the subconscious mind all the time through sensory input. But to specifically address a problem, you need to communicate with it directly. If you can't convey your desires in this way, then what you want will never take place. Any altered state of consciousness will give you a faster track and link to your subconscious. And this direct communication is extremely important because it starts the healing process. You can use methods such as hypnosis, meditation, prayer, and visualization. Conscious links such as affirmations are more difficult, but if you use a lot of repetition and say them out loud for greater sensory input, they can be very effective tools of communication as well. Programming yourself with hypnosis can be extremely effective in the pursuit of optimal health. You see, the negativity you're subjected to every day will wear you down and cause you to become depressed and anxious, as well as prone to common ills such as colds, flu, and the like. Programming your mind and body to be at optimal health counteracts this and gives you lots of energy. Hypnosis or meditation can help with morphic resonance. That is what we've carried over with us from past lives, be it good or bad. In fact, one of the first things you should do when you're in a depressed or anxious state is direct the cell memory to drop any morphic resonance that's causing this condition. Tell yourself that you've already learned from it, and then you can bring your cell memory from something bad to a time in which you were happy and healthy. This should bring you right out of your despair. Depression tends to occur when your mind and body get overloaded and can be caused by what's going on in your life as well as what's not going on. That is, you either think that you have insurmountable problems and too much to do, or you don't even feel like getting out of bed because you don't have enough to do. If you're suffering from the latter, force yourself to get up. Tell your body to move and get something done, and instruct your mind to focus on what you're doing. Do any and everything you can to keep your mind and body active, and you'll soon find that you don't have time for depression. I also want to talk to you about anxiety here, which has become a real byproduct of the negativity we face in this world. One of the most common ways in which anxiety manifests is in the feeling that you can't breathe and are trapped by something you can't put your finger on, which is extremely frightening. Just know that one of the best ways to relieve an anxiety attack is to immediately engage in some form of physical or mental activity. The faster you're able to focus on something other than the dread and panic, the faster you'll get over it. Many years ago, biofeedback researchers discovered that we all have cycles that affect our body and mind. In other words, we have high and low periods of life. In our low cycle, our physical and mental abilities just don't work as well as they do at other times. We have these cycles daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. We even cycle for years at a time. If you're astute, you can chart your own cycles. And when you realize what they are, you can start programming yourself to get past them. Begin a journal of how you feel and perform at certain times of the day or night, and then work up to how you feel over the week, month, and year. Once you've found your pattern, you can commence programming yourself to function better during the low times. You'll get more done and have more energy, eventually being able to operate much like you do in your high cycles. Some of you already do this when you use your willpower to overcome the blues. For those of you who suffer from low periods of depression, no energy, and the like, start disciplining yourself to surmount these conditions. Enlist your determination and use meditation, which will help you communicate with your mind and body to re-energize yourself and eradicate all feelings of depression and tiredness. If you don't have time to meditate, get in touch with your mind by frequently saying affirmations out loud. Over time, you'll need these tools to get out of depression less often because you'll have programmed yourself not to succumb to these low cycles with such intensity. It turns out one of the greatest adversaries we face in life is the programming of society. Our world tells us what to buy, what to wear, what to eat and drink, how to act, and on it goes. Some of these messages can be beneficial, but most of them are not. It's amazing how much programming we're subjected to every day, particularly of the negative variety. In fact, everything we read in the newspaper or watch on TV seems to be upsetting. No wonder we now inhabit a world full of depressed people. We as human beings absorb so much darkness on a daily basis, and while a positive outlook on life can help somewhat, that won't eliminate all of it. None of us could possibly deflect it all unless we just completely isolated ourselves from the outside world. Since negativity is a part of life, we must accept that we'll be faced with some form of it as long as we live. Unfortunately, the diet of continual bad news we are being fed not only wreaks havoc with our minds, but our bodies as well. All of this negativity has led to increased amounts of stress, which we in the West have manifested into illness. The big problem is that our doctors tend to deal with symptoms rather than causes. They've been taught to treat illness and disease with medicine and surgery, and very little of their training is devoted to prevention. The most important preventative act may be to give ourselves positive programming. Programming plays a huge part in preventative medicine. While it's hardly ever taught in medical schools, and few doctors can give lessons in it, it's perhaps your greatest tool in determining your wellness. It goes beyond health to give you greater happiness all around. It's probably the greatest weapon you'll ever have to battle negativity and its subsequent effects. Programming goes hand in hand with will and desire. You can desire optimal health and a happy life, but are you utilizing your will to obtain them? And if you pray to ask God for help, don't forget that God helps those who help themselves. Remember, the mind is the most powerful instrument for exercising the demons of illness and disease, keeping your attitude upbeat, negating the pessimistic program you receive every day, and giving your body and mind positive affirmations all contribute greatly to a better, healthier mind and body. If you keep active, help others, stay optimistic, and don't allow boredom to enter into your life, then all of the world's goodness and happiness will enter into your life. The next chapter will look at the concept of positive programming in detail.
Very good. That's very good. You know, Sylvia's told us many times, when you feel the boredom, don't say bored. You know, it's part of programming. Don't say bored. Just say, I'm restless. And, you know, be thinking of, what you could be doing. She has been known to say, stupid people only stupid people get bored. So, you know, be smart and find something to do, and you'll keep busy and, you know, keep moving. And the other thing that comes to mind about will, you know, willpower, we've been told and learned about that is like a muscle. You got to use it. You got to learn what it is for you to use the willpower and get up and go. And again, that's like emotion. Emotion is the mover. So it's just something to practice to learn with. What is it? What does that feel like for you as an individual to use your willpower and, you know, get up and move? Let's see. We are going into the next part here. Let's see. The next chapter. I'm going to get that started here. If we got any questions, I've got a quick question here. It says, are there any updates on Sylvia? I myself don't have any more information at this time, and we're still working on Michael, getting him connected here. So I'll keep that question here and see what we can get from Michael when we get him on line here. So anyway, I'm going to double check here. Great. Let's go on to the next part. Here we go.
Chapter 3, Program Your Body and Change Your Life. Life is an attitude, so if you have a good attitude, you'll have a good life. Positivity starts with a belief in our creators and their love for us. And that belief then blossoms like a flower opening to life and the world. Focus yourself outward with an inward awareness of being, and have faith in your own strength of will and your mind's ability and power. I cannot stress enough that a positive outlook on life can work wonders for your health, but it can also be enhanced by preventative measures such as affirmations, which are more effective when stated in the present tense. For example, during the flu and cold season, continually tell yourself that you are healthy and that your body fights off any virus that invades it. Just saying something as simple as, I stay well throughout every season can be of great help, but do so often and out loud. But first, you must ask yourself if you really want to be healed, or would you rather hang on to your maladies? Remember, your will and desire can make all the difference as far as wellness is concerned. So if you don't have the resolve to be healthy, you won't be. You may have heard about people dying inexplicably from something that wouldn't have normally meant the end of life. That's the will or lack of it at work. You've probably also heard about folks living far beyond the time they were supposed to pass on. That's because when the will remains steadfast, the body can go on, and life can be extended until the point of total breakdown. I know people today who have healed themselves from diseases that were supposed to kill them, and it all stemmed from their will to do so. Using your will and attitude in conjunction with positive programming, such as affirmations, is a potent healing force. Can you spare 5 minutes or less a day to help you achieve your desires by employing your own God-given tools of a voice and a brain? You can talk to your body and mind and program them to work at their best. You already do this on a daily basis when you tell yourself, damn, I messed up. Geez, I forgot the bread. Or, I have to remember to watch that special on TV tonight. If you learn how to talk to yourself with a premeditated intent to positively program your mind and body, I promise that not only will you start to have better health, but you'll be happier, more loving, and closer to God as well. Negativity won't affect you as it did before, and you'll have a clearer mind and more fit body. You'll be able to deal with problems easily and make better decisions because you'll be one with your body and mind, with your will and desire working together instead of fighting each other. If you have a disease or illness, it's important that you learn everything you can about it. That is especially true as far as the cause is concerned. Then find out the names of the parts of the body that are affected and enlist them in your daily programming. For example, let's say you have diabetes and your pancreas isn't working properly. If you program your body, you can correct the problem by addressing the pancreas and relating causes in your own words. You must be sure to use your own words in this process. When you do, it becomes easier to instill your feelings so you don't get into the trap of doing something by rote, which cuts down on the impact of what you're saying. And it's crucial that you use as much emotion as you can. If you're angry because you have the disease, for instance, use that rage to fill your words with power. Perhaps you can say something like, "I am in control of my body, and my pancreas works optimally to cure the disease of diabetes." Do be sure that you address any illness and organ by name. Also know what a healthy organ should look like and how it should function, and keep in mind that the DNA pattern is there for it to go back to its perfect form, so you can order it to return to optimal health. Visualization is a powerful tool for this. You can then call on your defense mechanisms and immune system to combat illness, and finally program all parts of your body to operate optimally. In addition, if you tell your body that any bad cells currently within it are going to die, it will create an environment that prevents them from reproducing, causing the cells to disappear. Cancer, for instance, is just a bunch of cells that decided to grow without boundaries. If they're allowed to reproduce, they'll displace good, healthy tissue with useless and destructive cells that choke off the function of any organ they invade. They're outlaw cells, but they shouldn't necessarily be feared as fatal. They just grow fast, and the earlier you become aware of them, the better. Most cancers today are cured or put into remission, but the real key is not to get the disease at all. Yet, how can you do this? Maintaining a positive attitude and living a happy lifestyle will keep away 99% of common ailments. You can also command your body to produce specific antibodies that fight or just eliminate any renegade cells within it. Get them out of there. Repeat your powerful words over and over again, for repetition is quite powerful. This programming takes just a few minutes, and you can do it as often as you like during the day. This is very, very effective at helping you cure and combat any disease, and in getting your body and mind functioning together to maintain good health. So when I say that you can talk to your body, I mean it. You can communicate with all of the parts of your physical shell and tell them what you want done by addressing your subconscious with affirmations. Research what your malady is and address the organ, gland, or tissue specifically responsible to make it healthy. If you feel a swollen lymph gland, for instance, say, "I know you're working hard to protect me, lymph system. I want you to rise up, get strong, go forth and seek and destroy all causes for this swelling now." You could even use programming for skin issues such as cuts and scar tissue. If you cut yourself, speed up the healing process by instructing the lymph cells to flood the area and find and destroy any and all infection. Command the body to immediately cleanse and purify the wound. Begin the repair process for every structure that's damaged. Reform the skin and strengthen the underlying connective tissue. Tell it to be replaced by healthy, normal tissue. Your circulatory system is also very important. The blood can carry toxins, so you want to make sure that your kidneys and liver are functioning properly to filter your blood. All you have to do is instruct your body to produce counter agents called chelates, so that toxins can be excreted safely. You'll be amazed by how much better you feel when you start telling your body and mind to eliminate poisons. You can utilize programming in other ways too. For weight loss, direct your fat cells to shrink, release their structure, and start dissolving. You can also change your metabolic rate to burn more calories by telling it something like, get going and give me more energy to become more active. To maintain good health, ask your system to produce every known curative for any invader, say, white blood cells go and find any alien organisms and destroy those that could cause harm to me. Or simply state, I have optimal wellness. I engage my personal will to be healed and maintain perfect health. And finally, to augment your programming, always make use of all forms of medical help as necessary. As we've learned, programming can be very harsh and harmful, or it can be a powerful healing tool. Society continually sends us detrimental messages, but we can reprogram and heal ourselves effectively to enjoy a full and rich life. If you're constantly sick, struggling with your weight, dealing with problems that never seem to disappear, or just feeling down in the dumps, you may find that completely changing your lifestyle can make things go away like magic. Your quality of life is so often wrapped up in how you live. This can trap you in situations where unhappiness reigns supreme and your health and well-being will usually suffer. Whether you like it or not, your lifestyle does affect your happiness. So take a minute now to ponder the following questions. Are you happy with your work or career? Are you happy with your family and friends? Are you happy with how you've lived your life, or do you feel a lot of guilt and remorse? Are you happy with yourself as a person? And if not, why? I'm always amazed by the number of men and women who stay in bad situations and endure lives of quiet desperation. It doesn't have to be that way. Changing your lifestyle means a complete transformation in attitude about your life and how you're living it. Note that one of the primary causes of disease, such as cancer and arthritis, is when stress is held within. I know that some of you will say that's ridiculous, but when you evaluate case histories, you'll find that behavior and personality traits are usually shared by those who have these ailments. For example, these folks tend to be very strong, empathetic individuals who don't want to hurt anybody, so they absorb other people's pain and keep things to themselves. As they try to protect others and create harmony for everyone else, the tension builds within them and it opens the door for disease. It's much better to find a means for them to release all this pent-up stress so that it doesn't develop into cancer or arthritis. And the best way is a complete lifestyle change. It is an amazing fact, but people who have cancer and then transform their lives for the better find that the disease either goes into remission or is eliminated altogether.
Wow. That's, you know, I've seen it myself, heard about it myself, that, you know, changing the lifestyle. And it was just reminding me of what you was talking about earlier, lining up your your life with your subconscious, your conscious mind with your subconscious mind. It lines the two up together, I believe, when, you know, if you make a life change in that nature. I did want to make a quick point, though. I apologize. I mentioned last week about holy water, the recipe for holy water. It turns out it was not on the Angels and Guides and Ghosts Part 1 or on Part 2, like I said. It's actually halfway through the show on Part 1. So Angels, Guides, and Ghosts, it's Part 1 halfway through that show. We just happened to be listening to it at our study group last week and re-listening to the show, and it was like, oh my goodness, this is where it is. And I remember saying I said it the wrong place. So anyway, I apologize. Let's see. Our next segment here is going to continue on from here. Unfortunately, Michael's having difficulty at this time, and we're doing the best we can to get him connected, but we're doing our best, and hope you don't miss him too much. I miss him. Let's see. Bob, do we have any chat time? Anything going on, questions in chat? I don't know if Bob can. Anyway, sorry. He'll look at me in just a minute because he hears me about 2 seconds later. What's that? Oh, just fan chat. Okay, are they fans of us? All right, wonderful. The other fun question I had was, how many people know, can guess who of the pictures you see on the player page? Who is Tom and who is Michael of those two pictures? We didn't label them, so I was curious based on how Michael and I sound to you, and you know how the funny part about how you listen to somebody you can't see, the picture you create in your mind. You know, let's find out who thinks which picture is Tom and which one's Michael. Anyway, that'll be fun to hear about. So our last segment for this evening, we've got some time left here, and then we will go into, let's see, oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to save this last segment just to put you on the edges of your seat. We've got just enough time for meditation, so for the rest of the show here. So take a few minutes. I'm going to give you a few minutes here and get yourself ready for a meditation. This one's fairly long. And find a comfortable position, whether it's on a chair, lying down, someplace that you can hear me. And, of course, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. Just listen or tune out, one of the two. Or if you're doing, you know, working on any hazardous tools. Anyway, take a few deep breaths and just let out all the stresses and strains of life. And take another deep breath. Just breathe in that positive white light, the white light of the Holy Spirit. And as you exhale, just picture in your mind that any negativity is just being released out as just smoke being, and that energy being neutralized. Letting out any stresses or strains, worries or concerns of the, whether it's today or yesterday or the week or the month, however far back you have to look and say, oh, I just want to let things go for now. No worries, no concerns, no time. And we'll start the meditation.
All right, I want you to put your feet flat on the floor. Put your hands upward on your thighs. And I want you to take a deep breath. And I want you to surround yourself with a silver netting. The silver netting protects you from harm. Deflects negativity, evil. And then around that, I want you to put purple.
Wow, okay.
Spirituality.
Let me stop and start
right
here. My chat person here was telling me I apologize if it stopped in the middle here. Can you hear me now, Bob? That's interesting. All right, well, we're doing the best we can here. In case you can or can't hear me, I'm just going to start the meditation over again. So I apologize for the interruption. It just sounded like we had gone off the air. So I'll start it again and see where we go.
All right, I want you to put your feet flat on the floor. Put your hands upward on your thighs. And I want you to take a deep breath. And I want you to surround yourself with a silver netting. The silver netting protects you from harm. Deflects negativity. Evil. And then around that, I want you to put purple,
high spirituality. My soul does magnify the Lord. I'm reaching up higher to reach God's hand that has now descended to be with me. Our Lord is in front of me. My angels are around me. I can even feel the flutter of their wings. Mother and Father God, stand with me. My loved ones now begin to crowd in around me. All the ones that have passed over, the room fills up. Angels, guides, loved ones, God, Christ consciousness. Now around that is a gold light, and that's the one we're going to use. Because the green light before that is healing. The purple light, we can thread all of them. Spirituality, the white netting or the white light protection. Let's use the gold light. Gold, the purest color, and thread it through. You can thread all the colors through, but let's primarily use the gold light. The gold light going up through your feet, purifying, making all negativity exit, unstressing, up through the calves, the knees, the thighs, even into the vascular system, even into the capillaries. Moving through the pelvic girdle, up through the trunk of the body, inside all the organs, upper and lower intestinal tract, liver, gallbladder, spleen, the whole lymphatic system, moving through the heart, heartbeat regular, blood pressure normal, breathing. I'm healthy, I'm well, I'm strong. My spinal column is gold. My kidneys are healthy and well. My adrenals are functioning properly. I don't need to be bled. The gold is rinsing out the darkness. Let's call it, for the sake of ancient time, the bad humors. All of the organs, named or unnamed, pituitary, pineal, thyroid, eyes, nose, throat, ears, brain, physical brain as well as your mental brain, emotion and intellect cemented together. See, if emotion gets out of whack, it inundates the intellect and makes us really depressed. So keep it in its own niche. Besides that, you make a perfect tube for God. Moving around the neck, back of the head. And be sure that you hit the main chakras of the body. Even though we have one in the center of the forehead, we have one in the throat, we have one in the pancreas or solar plexus, one in the kundalini or the organs. The reproductive organs, you also have one behind the buttocks called the justice, and one behind the neck, which is called the will. That's why they use the acupuncture needles at certain points, because they correspond to the glandular system. I am in control of my mind, my soul, my body, and I will be above the body. And I will know that I am loved by God. I know that I will never be without protection. I will forgive myself, not God. I will forgive myself. knowing that I'm human, that I learned. That my mind will be as bright as the gold that is running through me. That my deductive and inductive reasoning will be as bright as the gold that is running through me. My acuity of knowledge and my search for truth will be as pure as the gold that runs through me. That I will find my own temple of grace inside myself. My own crystal cathedral. And I will seal myself off from this point on, that I will not let any negativity or any control factors hit me anymore. I will sweep away, like our Lord said, shake the dust off your feet of unwanted people that hurt me. Don't cast your pearls before swine. They'll trample them. The motto is gratitude, commitment, loyalty. You live by those three as the Gnostics do. You've covered everything. I want you to see yourself now in a field. And the field is rolling, green, and it's populated by the most beautiful, golden daffodils that you've ever seen. There seems to be thousands of them. You think, how many daffodils can a meadow hold to make it look golden? It just increases the gold that is part of your spirit. You have a loose-fitting robe on, men and women. You're barefooted. You look down, and all of a sudden, you see marble, almost like marble stepping stones that are gold, gold flecks, and as the sun hits them, they're so bright. And you feel the coolness of them on your feet. And now you're very anticipatory. You begin to run towards something. You don't know what it is, but you know that these golden slabs of marble lead somewhere. All of a sudden, in the middle of the meadow, you see these doors standing. How amazing, these golden doors seem to be standing upright. And yet there's something very familiar about them. They have big, round, circular handles. They look heavy, but as you pull, they swing open. And you look down this hallway. Still golden marble steps leading down a long hallway. Now you're even more excited. You run down this hallway. And you see other golden doors. And they swing open. And as they swing open, you see this room. And as you might suspect, it's golden looking, like gold, streaming through. And it's populated by all these beautiful people in golden robes, golden headdresses. There's some that stand along the side with gorgeous wings. They could be thrones, they could be principalities, archangels. And for some reason, you're led towards them. Two beautiful entities take you by the hand. And not like the healing laboratory, but they take you up these steps and they lie you on this golden marble slab. Now you think it would be cold, but it's not. And as you look up, you have such a feeling of peace because these beautiful entities have gathered around you. You might even know some of them. It might be your mother or your father, your sister, your brother, a child you've lost. All there. And while you're lying there, they pass their hands over your body. As they do, you feel such a sense of love. Their hands are maybe 6 inches off of your actual physical body. And you feel the love. You feel the radiation from their hands, almost like a slight, not unpleasant electrical current. If there's a particular part in your body that needs help, let them pass over that. They surround you. They smile at you. They could even give you a message. One can step forward, maybe your mother who's passed, or your father. They grab your hand. They give you a message. You don't want to leave. You don't feel helpless. You feel cocooned and loved. It's almost like you've gotten a bit of home. They help you rise up. You sit on the edge of the marble slab. They congregate around you. They're so real to you, you can even feel their breath on your face. The angels that were standing at attention now come around you, some with golden-tipped wings, some with maroon wings, some with green-tipped wings. Sacred chapel in your heart and mind. This is what we call the Temple of Healing. You've gone to the other side of this temple. And you feel that no matter what has happened, that you're still loved, that they're waiting for you, that they love you. It's your sanctuary. Your place of golden meditation and healing. Your place of as much peace as you can get on this earth. And you feel so well, so young, so happy, so free of guilt. And all the I should have done and I didn't do wash away as a baptismal. And even if you carried anything over from a past life, that's rinsed away with one brush of an archangel's wing. You feel the tiredness drain out of you, the futility leave you, the ambivalence go away. You're helped down off the slab. And you embrace, and you're amazed because they're real, they feel real. They hug you. Some may even kiss you. You don't really want to go, but you know you can go back to this place anytime you please. Your golden sanctuary. You hold your hand out. And one of the entities comes over and drops a golden droplet in your right hand. You may not see it when you come, but it's there. It will always stay there, this golden droplet. It can form a crucifix, a heart, any mandala you want, or you can just keep it. It's yours. There's not another one like it. Each one is unique. And when you need it, you can take your right hand, press it to your heart, your head, your stomach. It's almost like your little drop of healing that never will go away. You get down off the platform, and reluctantly you turn back and see all their beautiful faces smiling. You go through the doors, down the hall. But even with that bit of heaven, as we say, you've carried that with you, your golden jewel. And back through the other doors and out into the field. And where the daffodils were gold before, they're even shimmering brighter. And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. God will always be there for you, never fail you. Omnipotent, caring, full of love for infinity. Now bring all the colors up through you, the bottoms of your feet. You can use the green and the purple and the white and the gold, and bring them all the way up through the very bottoms of your feet, up through your ankles, your calves, your knees, your thighs, up through the whole pelvic girdle, up through the whole trunk, down through the shoulders, the upper arms, the lower arms, the hands, the fingertips, up through the neck, around the mouth, the face, the nose, the eyes, the forehead. And on the count of three, bring yourself up, all the way up, feeling absolutely marvelous, better than you've ever, ever felt before. One, two, three.
You don't make it back. I was just thinking at the end of that. I don't know if you remember the old TV shows where they used to play the B-rated, or not B-rated, the B-type horror movies. And at the end of the show, they would play a really fun music just to get your mind out of the horror films. I remember those from Friday and Saturday Night. Thinking, man, what can we play? What can we play to get our minds up back out of the meditation like that? It's so phenomenal just to absorb all that and come out of that and go, wow, oh my gosh. And then you got to function after that. And think about that during the week. Recall that memory of this meditation throughout the next week. That's going to bring that up through your subconscious and make your body aware of that feeling again, that sensation again, of what this meditation has provided for you. And another fun question is, how long do you think that was? I don't think I had mentioned earlier how long it was. It's interesting to note, that our perception of time shifts or changes or is not quite the same when like that. Minutes and 30 seconds, believe it or not. And I think that as the world has aged and we have not. And in turn, that's giving us resetting our stress. Resetting our stress meter, our stress time. That now we're back to zero and we can move forward in an easier fashion. Anyway, we've got a few minutes over here again this week, and I appreciate the pats on the back. Bob was telling me that people were patting me on the back for saying, yeah, you are doing a good job, and oh my gosh, it was entertaining. Let's see. I wanted to mention that Michael was out of town, so we thought his equipment was going to work properly, and apparently it didn't, so For those of you that miss Michael, yeah, for sure he's going to be back next week. No problems, no worries about that. And we did the question from the chat, any updates on Sylvia? Michael did mention to me, because I was actually talking to him on the phone, Sylvia is better. She's back in California and recuperating. So she's healing and getting better. So continue prayers for her, of course. And appreciate, again, all of you calling in. What else can we do? Oh, I know. I want to thank again Bob Ingold for our chat control. I wanted to mention about Sunday services. If you live in the areas of Renton, Washington, of course, San Jose, California, where I am, and Taylor, Michigan in Las Vegas, Nevada, check out novus.org for locations and times for church services. If you're interested in more detailed studying of things that, you know, we're sharing here, think about starting or joining a study group. You know, it's learning more about our philosophy and sharing with others and seeing how others, either you can help others or others help you with this philosophy. Again, go to novus.org and check out study groups. Check out the study group program. That's all we have for this week. I was excited to present all this for you. I enjoy sharing and throw those questions out. Again, the email to send questions in, if you don't want to log in, it is newspirit@novus.org. Even if you are doing, you know, listening into the archives, you know, send an email in if you have a question. And thanks again for all those that are chatting and those that have called in to listen and those that are just listening. Thanks again. So we will sign out here and we'll see if we can play this music nicely. We're learning how to get this going here. Anyway, thanks again. Talk to you next time and look forward to sharing with you all.